couple years ago, you kind of look into where you're going. So we looked into Kingsport and Bristol, and then I met Pastor Herdman, and I decided I don't need to go anywhere else. I'm staying right here for the rest of my life until the Lord comes back. But I looked into it. I looked at the stores. I looked into the roads. I looked into, you know, everything around the restaurants. I found pals, and it changed my life. But I thought, you know, we're all going to go to heaven one day, right? We're all going to go to heaven. So I was starting to look in the Bible and read about heaven. And just one verse after the other just started comforting me and helping me. And then I stopped at 12 pages of because I made them larger print for, you know, us people that can't see as well. So even if you have poor eyesight, you might be able to see it without your glasses on. And so I hope that helps you. So what I'm going to try to do today is I'm going to try to finish Jonah. I want to finish Jonah, and my wife says my problem is I don't focus. You know, I go through the week and I get, you're laughing, Beulah. I go through the week and the Lord just gives me all this stuff and I just want to give it out. And my wife, Diane, she says, don't give all that stuff out. Just hold on to some of it for another time and try and focus. And so that's what I'm going to do. Well, I'm not going to say I'm going to do that, but I'm going to say I'm going to try. But thanks. I'm going to teach, I think, one more week, and then Marty will come, and then Marty will take it from there. But this has been a joy to be with you, spend some time with you, and who knows, I may be back. We'll see. But I've gotten to know several of you. If I've come to your home and you didn't tell me to go somewhere else, but I had some nice visits. I had a great visit with Beulah, and so it was nice to get to know some of you. I have the list of everybody in this class, and I pray for each and every one. But this morning, I would like to pray in particular for Larry Russell. He had a triple bypass, and I believe he's doing well. They went to see him in the hospital, and he was doing laps around the wards. And so that's a good sign. And Bob... Bob Bryant, he had a knee replacement or his knee worked on, and he's doing better. He's at home, and his wife, Charlotte, is here in the ladies' class. I seen her this morning. I talked to her, so that's good to know. Debbie Mullins is still at home. I don't have too much news other than the same, but pray for Debbie and Steve and their family as they go through this, the cancer that she's dealing with, and just keep praying for her. Send her a note, send her a text. She may not respond to your text messages or to your notes or even answer your calls, but I would say keep calling, keep texting, keep sending her letters or notes. I'm sure that's a blessing on her side. Even though she may not get to you or get back to you. Do I have any other prayer requests this morning? Any prayer requests to add? Do we know anything about that little boy that had the tumors? There was a 3-year-old boy last week we prayed for that had tumors in his head. And we want to pray for that. It was in his head, right? The tumors? Yeah. Virgil Stout. hospice. And you heard me. That's a blessing, right? This young lady up here had a implant put in her, and they adjusted it and turned it on, and now she's able to hear, and she's pray for her still, because she has to relearn words, and she has to deal with her husband telling her words, and then she has to recite them back to him, and but she's got to teach her brain over again how to pronounce words and understand words, and then hopefully she says them right? Okay, good. So any other prayer requests? I don't want to miss anyone. Pray for Scott Martin still. He's mostly here. But pray for Scott Martin. I'll write Scott down. And of course, we'll pray for the service to follow. We have a missionary here. I ran into him in the hallway, and I recognized him. And actually, he recognized me first. And he actually was my son's roommate in college. And so he's here. I'm trying to think of his name, but he's here. His name's in the bulletin. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for all that you do. Thank you for each and every family represented here this morning. Help us to come here to learn from you, to get from you a closer walk with you, a closer relationship with you. And if there's someone here that's not saved, that's never asked you into their heart, that is not fully trusting in you, I pray, Lord, that today they'll get their heart right and they'll get that settled. Even if there's a question, I pray that they talk to somebody and get that settled in their heart, and they'll be so happy they did. I want to pray for these people here. Virgil Stout, that's on hospice, pray for him. Pray for Scott Martin. Pray for Larry Russell, Bob Bryant, and Debbie Mullins. Just be with them, Lord. You're the great physician. You're the creator of all, and you can maintain and do whatever your will is, Lord. And we just pray that if you will intervene in the lives of these people and help them heal right and help them get better. And even Debbie Mullins, Lord, if you chose to heal her today, you could do it. And we all would love that, but we want to understand your ways are not our ways. And we love you so much, Lord, and we praise you for it. We'll pray for the service to follow, and pray that the hearts will be in such a place as to receive you into their hearts. And for all the saved ones here, I pray that they'll take the message and use it and apply it and follow your leadership, Lord. Pray for this lesson as we teach it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, hopefully we can close up Jonah this morning. And I'm trying to, I'm doing something a little different today. And I know what you're saying. You do something a little different every time you get up there. But that's my problem. But, so we have Jonah, and we're going to close. We're going to try and get through this. Next slide, please, Rick. All right, so this is where we left off yesterday, or last week, rather, and we were talking about God's voice. And if you want to turn in the book of Jonah in your Bibles, then that'll be our main text, and then we'll be going back and forth. We'll be going to Psalm. If you want to put a finger in Psalm, we'll be touching a little bit in Jeremiah. If you want to, you don't really have to put a finger in Jeremiah, but Psalm the book of Psalms and Jonah. We're going to be in Jonah a lot because we're going to try and finish up today. But The commission of authority, and of course, the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ and God himself, but God's voice discerned. We went over this in Psalm 95, 7 to 8. It talks about, let me see if I can get there. Yeah, I'm shocked because I got the right briefing up there, the lesson up there. But it talks about God's voice, listening to God's voice. And we went over that last week. I don't want to go over that too much, but Psalm 95, 7 and 8 talks about that. And God's vision is B. God's voice is discerned. And, you know, today with all the different voices, all the different sounds, everything going on in this crazy world of ours, we need to get to a place where we can pay attention. Remember Elijah? You know, his voice is not in, sometimes it's not in the obvious places. He's got that still small voice. Until you settle your spirit, until you get to a place to where you can pay attention to him and just get all the worldly things away from you, and he'll talk to you. The Lord will talk to you, but you need to discern the Lord's voice from all the other craziness that's going on around you. And that's what Jonah had to do. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah in the book of Jonah. It starts out, it says, now in Jonah chapter 1, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. And this is the Lord giving him direction. We need to understand God's voice so the Lord can give us direction. But God's vision is determined. God's vision determined in Jeremiah 8 and 9. And if you remember also in Jeremiah chapter 18, if you have time this week, go into Jeremiah chapter 18. And it talks about how Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, and the Lord told Jeremiah, said, go down to the potter's house, and I got something for you there. You know, the Lord will tell you to go places, and the Holy Spirit will prick your heart to hand out a track or talk to this person, or maybe this person needs help or something like that. The word of the Lord will come unto you. You need to be able to discern the Lord, and you need to determine what God's vision is for your life. That's so important. But we went over that. But a commission of authority, God's voice discerned, God's vision determined. And I'm wanting to get to the meat of the... All right, a call for action. Hey, Rick, could you change the slide up there? A call for action. When you hear his voice and the word of the Lord comes unto you and the Holy Spirit directs you to do something, and then his vision is determined in your life, there's a call to action. A, it's time to wake up. Now, there's three action words in the book of Jonah here. It says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, arise, go, and cry. In chapter 1, verse 2, it says, arise, go, and then cry. God was telling Jonah, I want you to rise, get out of your chair, get out of your slump, get out of the bed. It's time to wake up and go. It's time to walk. It says in the Bible, a newness of life. Once we get saved, we have a newness of life. And you're saying, well, Brother Archie, yeah, I got saved 50 years ago or 40 years ago or 30 years ago. That newness of life is there every day. We need to be excited. Remember when I talked about it was noise that Jesus was in the house? Every time you go through that door, every time you open your eyes, that should, you know, you should be excited. Jesus is in my heart. Jesus is in my house. Every time you go through the front doors of this church, the Bible says, work out your own salvation. That means you should have that joy. You should go back to the point where God saved you and get excited about it every time you come through those doors. Because you know why? People are watching. People need you to influence them to be excited for the Lord. If nothing else, you can help someone else be excited. You could change someone's life. I don't want to get into the story, but after I left this one store, there was this young man, and it was a situation. A young man said, "You just changed my life." And I said, "No, I didn't do anything. The Lord changed your life, and the Lord can do much more for you." I just think back, and I feel like crying. Just think that a holy God would even take the time to use one of us to help someone else. That's an awesome responsibility, to just wake up and just walk in a newness of life and pay attention to what the Lord, pay attention to the Lord's voice, and then determine what his vision is for your life, and then apply that and take action. And it's time to warn. The Bible says, let me get there. He says, no one will listen to us if we do not live what we preach. Ephesians 4:1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Now, the vocation for where we are called is in the book of Romans and book of Matthew. The vocation for which we are called, we're supposed to go and tell others about Christ. But in Ephesians 4:1, that's a very good verse. But before we warn others of the error of their own old sinful life, not that you pick on their sin or anything, but you just tell them and they'll be convicted, right? You just tell them about Christ and they'll be convicted about where they're at. But we need to walk in the newness of life. Let's go to the book of Romans real quick. Romans 6:4 and 7:6. Let's go Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. I put these tabs in my Bible so I can find places faster. I don't even pay attention to them. They're like in the way. I don't know why they're there. So Romans chapter 6, verse 4. It says, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And then Romans 7:6 says, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. I think I'm in between this Bible and large print. I think I need to go to large print. It would probably be helpful for me. But it's time to warn. Isaiah 58:1 says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Revelation 3:19 says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore and repent. We need to be zealous. We need to tell others about Christ. And you know what? Most of the time, you won't see the result of a tract that you hand out. Most of the time, but sometimes you do. Sometimes you get those little nuggets that the Lord just gives you that just solidifies your heart saying, you're doing the right thing. You're doing the right thing. But someone said, it's better to build a fence at the top of a cliff. So just imagine a cliff. It's better to build a fence up there at the top of the cliff than park an ambulance at the bottom. You see what I'm saying? So it's better to save them. It's better to lead them to Christ than pick them up afterwards, which is of no use to them at all. But a communication of agony. Next slide. Rick, next slide. It's time to wake up. I was just reading the slide, not being mean. So communication of agony. And we talked about this a little bit. An elevated position, an extreme pollution, and expired patience. An elevated position. The Bible speaks, when we were talking about Nineveh, it talked about that great city. And it mentions it in the first chapter, and it mentions it in the last chapter, and it mentions it a couple times. That great city. And it talked about that it had a lot of influence. Nineveh had a lot of influence, and Nineveh had a great population too. There's a lot of people in there. So when Jonah went and preached that revival, and it changed the hearts, not of one person, not of two people, but the whole city of Nineveh. God could do that to our city. God could do that to everyone around you. He could change the hearts of everybody that you come in contact with. You wake up every morning, you just, dear Lord in heaven, prepare the hearts of the people that I'll come in contact. And then your second prayer would be, put me in the path of someone that needs you. That's pretty bold to pray those two prayers. To prepare the hearts and then put me in the path. And then you know what happens? The Holy Spirit, as soon as you get in the path of someone that God wants to use you in their life, it will be so obvious. And the more you do it, the more obvious it gets. And so we're in an elevated position. Often God's blessings are taken for granted. You know, I have friends that don't have any arms or any legs. And they still get around on these little scooters and different things. But most of us, we're able to get out of bed. We might not sleep that well, but we're able to get some rest. We're able to get out of bed. We just need a little sleep, a little slumber. And we're able to get to our feet. Some of us can drive and some of us get rides. But you know what? What a blessing. Every heartbeat, everything we're able to look at, every breath that we take, it's such a blessing. But oftentimes, we're in such an elevated position, but we take those blessings for granted. 1 Corinthians 4:7. If you want to turn to 1 Corinthians 4:7, it says, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou had not received it? You received a great blessing. Don't act or don't live your life as if you haven't. God's blessings are new every day. We need to take advantage of that, but not take it for granted. God's blessings are awesome. All right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to, for the sake of time, I'm going to skip over this. Hey, Rick, could you could you go to the where it says chapter 1? Would you go to chapter 1? And we're going to try and do something. We're all friends here, right? So we can do things a little bit different. Chapter 1. All right. It says, now the word of the Lord. So if you go to the book of Jonah, what we're going to do is we're going to go through four chapters, the entire book of Jonah in 10 minutes. Okay? We can do this. All right? So the book of Jonah. Sometimes I can't get past one verse in an hour, so you'll have to forgive me. But it says, now the word of the Lord, this is verse 1 of your handout, where it says, now the word of the Lord, you can put beside that Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Verse 3 says, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was likened to be broken. So the Lord says, arise and go to Nineveh. That's the second point. That great city, and cry. And that's in verse 2. Now, also the third point there under chapter 1, it says, from the presence of the Lord. And that's also in verse 3. You know, and we went over it several times, but the word of the Lord, God told us to do something. God told Jonah to do something. God told Jeremiah to do something. So when in chapter 18 of Jeremiah, God says, I want you to go down to the potter's house. What did Jeremiah do? I think it was verse 2. He went down to the potter's house. And it says, and then he went. That's awesome when God gives direction and someone follows it. But then he said to Jonah, the word came unto Jonah and said, I want you to go to Tarshish. So Jonah tried to figure out a way to get out of it. Sometimes God puts someone for you to talk to or someone to hand a track, and automatically in your mind and in your flesh, you're trying to figure out a way out of it, right? I know God wants me to invite this person to church. All of a sudden, you know, the Satan will always provide a way for you to get out of a situation when you're trying to do something for the Lord. And the Lord's work will be done with or without you. But he wants to use you. He wants to use us. And that's what's so overwhelming sometimes to me, that he just wants to use us. But Jonah, it said in chapter 1, it said Jonah chartered a ship or found a ship. And then he paid the price thereof. And like I said before, you know, anytime we try and get out of what the Lord wants us to do, Satan will provide a way. But you always will pay the price thereof, as it says in verse 3. So, but Jonah rose up to flee, and he left the very presence of the very person, the very God, that could help them. Oftentimes we get upset because of our pride. Sometimes we get offended because of something someone in church may have said. And what's our first thought? I'm leaving this church. I don't want to be around that person. We leave the very presence of the places can help us the most with our pride, with our jealousy, with our anger. This is the place. This is the last. The buck stops here. This is where we need to be to get what the Lord wants us. And then we can go from there. But the Lord will help us here. That's why we sing that one song, Psalm 27:4. One thing have I desired of the Lord. That one thing is to dwell and inquire in God's temple. And but he found a ship and he paid for it. And then from the presence of the Lord. That's chapter 1. So we got, I didn't do chapter 1 fast enough. But then chapter 2, if you want to go to chapter 2. Chapter 2, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. So, you know, God prepared a storm in Jonah's life in chapter 1. He prepared that storm, and he prepared the winds, and they wouldn't stop. And then the mariners that were in the boat didn't want to throw Jonah over. And they even asked God to forgive them, and they threw Jonah overboard in that ship. And this is part of the price that he paid the fare of. And he went into the water, and then all of a sudden the seas and the wind and everything ceased. But, you know, if God tells us to do something, or if we know something that God wants us to do, and we don't do it, because he was told to go to Nineveh, and he went to Tarshish, down to Joppa. Guess what? The Lord will get your attention one way or another. It's happened in my life over and over, and I'm sure it's happened in yours. The Lord will get your attention. But how is he going to get your attention? He got Jonah's attention by that storm. And then he went overboard. And then again, he knew that Jonah, if Jonah was rescued by another boat, the Lord knew that he wasn't, his life wasn't going to change. So you know what he did? He said, I'm going to have to do double for this guy. So he took Jonah and he put him in the fish's belly. And he didn't die. In chapter 2 it says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. When I was in Iraq, there was a lot of people that all of a sudden found religion. When we had to dig those foxholes, those fighting positions, people started praying. People started coming to Christians and talking to them. Not mocking them like they did before. And it says, Jonah was in a fish's belly, and it said, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord. You know, sometimes God will send a storm, and then we just worry about what's happening to us. He cried because of his affliction. That's what Jonah said. So, you know what we do? We go into defense mode. We start crying because of what we're going through. I've been through some stuff, and I cried. But the point, you don't want to go to that pity party. You don't want to start, you know, whining for yourself. He was crying because of his affliction. You know what we need to do? We need to cry for how we're displeasing the Lord. Because our whole purpose in being created is to glorify him and to honor him and to praise him. Because one day, those 12 pages, we're going to spend eternity with him. Don't cry because of your affliction. We need to cry before that. And I only got a couple minutes. So I did a terrible job at going through 4 chapters. So I'll finish this up next week. And then, hey, Rick, would you go where it says 1, the number 1? How about the next one? All right, so the love of God, the book of Jonah is about the love of God and the patience of God and the long-suffering of God. And next week, after I go through chapters 2, 3, and 4 real quick and sum that up, and then you'll have 4 chapters in the book of Jonah, which is the whole book. in your mind, and you can divide it in your mind. Here's what happened in the first chapter, second chapter, third chapter, fourth chapter. And you can study it out, and then you'll have that for the rest of your life. But we're going to talk about the love of God, and we're going to do a little math next week. And we're going to talk about 1%, 2%, 10%, 50%, and 100%. And I just want you to be excited for next week, because we're going to talk about 1%. Oh, there we go. Look at that. So, could you put up Psalms 27, 4, that one, and then we'll have to finish. Rick, there we go. I think it's towards the end. One more. There we go. Let's sing this song, and I want you to get this in your heart too, because this helps me, and scripture always helps me, and when we sing it, it always helps me. But let's sing this song. Ready? One, two, three. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord, behold the beauty of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. You know, sometimes when you go to bed at night, you feel like you haven't accomplished anything. Well, wake up on purpose and ask the Lord, what's the one thing that you want me to do today? And you know what? Don't be a Jonah, be a Jeremiah, and do it. Dear Lord in heaven, we thank you so much for today's lesson. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you that each and every one of us have your Holy Spirit to convict us of things. And thank you for the joy that you put in our hearts after we follow you and praise you. We pray for the service to come. And we love you with all of our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a good week.